We're continuing the study here of dispensations, and we started looking at them last week, or 2 weeks ago. We had Vacation Bible School last week. So we started looking at dispensations and started getting into them. And I'm not going to go back over all the introduction. If I continue to do that, I'll never get through a lesson. So I am going to recap the first one, the dispensation of innocency. And we covered that 2 weeks ago. And so if you have any blanks in your book, try to get with somebody else or even get with me afterwards, and I'll help you fill in the blanks that might have been missed. And so, and also, I realized when I was studying last night on this that I duplicated a page on page 18 and 19 in your book, and I don't know if we'll get to that today or not, but if we do, I duplicated it. It's on both sides of the page. It's the same thing. Brother Carl said that that means it needs to be covered twice. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it's duplicated, so just fill in one side of that page and not the other, and I'll try to fix it on future printings of the book. So does everybody have a book? Does anybody need one? I think everybody here has one. All right, and so we started covering the dispensation of innocency. Again, a dispensation is a stewardship. God dispensed to a steward his plan for that time. He always had a head steward or head stewards of that time period. And so we began to look at the very first one. And the very first one was the dispensation of innocency. And that didn't last very long. Just like in a child's life, from the day they're born to the day where they begin to understand between good and evil, they receive a conscience. And that's the second one we're going to look at. But that time for most children doesn't last too long. When you look at a lifespan, it's only just a few years. And then all of a sudden, they begin to realize they're naked. They begin to realize they're a sinner, right and wrong, and those things. And so it's the same with Adam and Eve. It didn't take a whole lot of time between God creating them. And we don't know exactly how long it was, but it didn't take a whole long in Scriptures. We're in chapter 3, and all of a sudden we have the fall of man. And so it didn't take real long. And the dispensation of innocency, I'm just gonna recap this real quick, and we'll go to the next one. It covers Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 through 3:22. It begins with the creation of man, and it ends with the expulsion from the garden. Again, there are some events that took place before the creation of man. Creation of the heaven and earth were before that time, but we're dealing with God dealing with mankind. That's what we're talking about. There's some things that happened before that are covered in Scripture, and we may go over that at some time later. All right, it ends with the expulsion from the garden. All right, and there's a little bit of an overlapse between the expulsion from the garden and the dispensation of conscience starting, and we're going to see that today as we go through it. But that was the end result. That dispensation was they were removed from the garden. That tree of life was in the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there, and so was the tree of life. And God had to put them out of the garden so they would not partake of that tree of life. And that tree of life is going to show up again later on in the future. All right, this dispensation covenant is the Edenic covenant. It's the Eden covenant. And this covenant was conditional based on God's instructions in the Garden of Eden. And we covered all these and looked at these verses, so we're not going to do that again. But they were told to multiply and replenish. They were told to subdue the earth for their use. They were told to exercise dominion over the animal creation. They had a vegetable diet. They were told to dress and keep the garden. They were told to abstain from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The plan of salvation for this time period was a faith plus what we called a negative work. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only thing that they were told not to do. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had all this, they're supposed to multiply, replenish, and do all these things. But this was the one thing they were told not to do. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And what we found out is man disobeyed. They ate the fruit. Satan shows up on the scene, and he begins to tempt Eve and trying to tell her she'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And he's doing the same thing today. He's trying to tell people that they can be like gods. and be your own person and all those things. So it started way back there, and what we find in the garden is a pattern of how the devil works from then on. And he's always been trying to get man to fall and not obey God. And so he ate the fruit. God's judgment, expulsion from the garden. Every dispensation begins with the grace of God, God, mercy, grace, and it ends with man's disobedience. And again, as we look at this thing of dispensations, we're going back and we're starting in Genesis and working our way through the Bible, because the Bible, even though the books that we have before us are not in order that they were written, they're laid out in order of how events took place. And they're laid out dispensationally from Genesis all the way to Revelation. That's how we find it. And so when we go back and start here, we don't go back to Genesis, and even we have all the oracles of God, and we understand all those things, and we see through it very clearly. But we're not going back to Genesis and looking even in the Garden of Eden. We understand that Jesus Christ, he's pictured all through here, the lamb that was slain for Adam, and all that stuff. We understand all that. But these folks were not saved the same way we are. And when Paul explains to the church how we're saved, he over and over again says, hey, this is different than what it was for them. Something has changed. It's different. It's not the same thing. Paul explained that to them. So as we read through here, we're not reading it that they're all saved by grace through faith, because that's not what took place. All right? And so sin required a payment. We went over this. Adam and Eve's attempt to cover their sin was fig leaves. And man's attempt to cover sin today is their self-righteousness and their own attempt to cover sin. But God's way was the shedding of blood. And so we find that there. All right, so the second thing we're going to begin to talk about today is the dispensation of conscience. The dispensation of conscience. And to the best of my ability, I know I've made some errors in the book already, but everything that's on here should be in your book and should follow the same pattern. And so every slide that's up here should have a slot on your page. And again, if it's not, I apologize, but that should be the way it goes. Sorry. All right, the dispensation of conscience. All right, this dispensation covers Genesis chapter 3, 23 through 6, 12. Genesis 3, 23 through 6, 12. Again, this is another one that only lasts a few chapters in Scripture. Again, you know, the time frame is not known exactly on how many years it might have been, but there's times we read in Scripture, man, it covers generation after generation after generation. I mean, there could be 10 generations within a few verses. But as far as Scripture is concerned, chapter 3, verse 23 through 6, 12 covers this dispensation of conscience. It begins with Adam's life outside of the garden. Before he was expelled from the garden, he was given the instructions for how this was going to go. He explained to them about the Adamic covenant, which we're about to cover here in just a second. Up until the point that they partook of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they did not have a built-in conscience that told them what was right and wrong. Everything was right. Everything was right in their eyes. Everything was right. Everything they did was right. It was a pure place. It was a clean place. There was no sin. And so everything was just right. But when they partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, something happened inside of them. And all of a sudden, they looked down and realized they were naked. They realized they were naked, and then they thought that they needed to cover themselves, so they went and got fig leaves, and then they had a guilty conscience, and they hid themselves from God when God came looking for them. All these things begin to happen. They begin to have feelings they never had before. They begin to think about things they've never thought about before. Adam looked at his wife differently from that day going forward. The same thing with Eve. Things begin to change, and they were given a God-given conscience. If somebody today stands up and say that they are atheist or agnostic, or they say that God made me this way, when it comes to their sexuality. They have to deny a God-given conscience to do that. They have to sear their conscience in order to do that. So they receive this conscience that now they have a conscience that's going to tell them what is right and what is wrong. A child, whenever they're real little, they have to be told what is bad for them and what is good for them. They have to be told what's right and wrong. They have to be told, do not touch the stove. Why? They don't know that it'll hurt them. They have to be told, do not stick a knife in the outlet. Kids get into all kinds of stuff. They have to be told, put your clothes on and keep them on. But then as they begin to get a little bit older, they get a conscience. And then now when they go take a cookie after mom said she couldn't have it, now there's something that's eating them alive inside. What is that? That's a God-given conscience. And we find out in the book of Romans that God gave that conscience. And there's people that ask about the Indians or whoever, these are really any tribe of people that's in these areas where missionaries maybe haven't reached. I heard a stat the other day that there are still some people groups that have not been reached with the gospel. They have creation and they have a God-given conscience, and that is what they'll be judged by. All right? And that's right. That's right. Absolutely. I was preaching this past week at youth camp about the Philistines and Israel, and whenever the Israel fought against them, they kept losing. Well, the Philistines took the ark before. Let me go back in the story. That has nothing to do with this part. So Israel was losing, and they thought they were losing because they didn't have the ark. So they ran and got it, and they were trying to treat God like a genie in a bottle. Well, they went and got the ark. When they got it, they shouted. And the Philistines, when they heard the shout, somebody said they went and got the ark. Immediately, they feared, and they said gods, Israel's gods, plural, and they said it two times. But in our Bible, it's a capital G both times. The Egyptians just realized that there was a God, and that was their God, but it was a capital G. And what I'm getting at is exactly what Dad said. Every single tribe, every nation, every people group that you go in there, they're worshiping something. They've got witch doctors. They've got, I mean, there's all kind of stuff going on. There's like biblical proportion, stuff going on in some of these places. And they're worshiping. So they receive this conscience. It begins with man's life outside the garden. It ends with the announcement of Noah's flood. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But what ends up happening, they get a conscience to guide them, to tell them what's right or wrong. And the same thing happened to them that happens to a lot of people today. They ignore their conscience and they do what they want to do. They do what feels right. Whatever wickedness they imagine, that's what they do. The dispensation covenant is the Adamic covenant. The Adamic covenant. This was a covenant given to Adam. This covenant was unconditional, and it was based on God's instructions to Adam outside the garden. Remember, there's covenants that are conditional, which means if you do this, I'll do this, is what God says. And then there's some that's unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do, this is going to happen. And so the things that God told Adam are things that affected the human race forever. It was an unconditional covenant that God gave to him. So let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. You might already be there. I don't know if I told you to turn there or not. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16. And we're going to begin to look at this covenant that God gave to Adam that would take effect outside of the garden. The first one that we find is that the woman will have multiplied conception. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16. Right before this point, God begins to deal with them there in the garden, asking them how they knew they were naked, how Eve partook of the fruit, and they all began to blame one another. Adam blamed his wife blamed the serpent. Everybody's playing the blame game. We still find the same thing in human nature today where people are always blaming somebody else. They blame the way they were raised. They blame this or they blame the government. blame that. And rarely do we look in the mirror and say, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, stand in the need of prayer. And so, verse number 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So women will have multiplied sorrow. They're going to bear children in sorrow. Give y'all a chance to write those down. This is a covenant that God made with Adam. A law of sowing and reaping begins to take place. They sinned, and now there's consequence for that sin. I don't see this verse posted in labor and delivery rooms in a hospital. But that's probably where it needs to go as a reminder. Amen. Nobody, amen. All right. And this last one is a difficult one for folks. Women will be in subjection to her husband. All that's found there in Genesis chapter 3:16. This was a part of the instructions to Adam. It was part of the Adamic covenant. And this covenant's unconditional. These are things that have never changed. These three things have never changed. You know what's funny is man has been trying to reverse the curse. They've been trying to do that. They have medicine now where you could just about give birth and not feel anything, right? I mean, they got all this. They could pump you full of medicines. They can do epidurals. They can do all these things so that you don't have to feel anything. They've tried to reverse the order of the home and tell women that you do not have to be in subjection to your husband. All these things that I'm covering here that took place at the very beginning that deal with a conscience, God-given conscience. Every time these things took place for this woman, she was reminded of what happened in the garden. She was reminded of the sin and reminded of what took place, being in subjection to her husband. All these things took place was a reminder, and a society has tried to erase God out of people's lives. And so they try to do things to reverse these things. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 17 and 19, we'll continue, the ground will be cursed. Chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree. Notice the first accusation against Adam was that he hearkened unto the voice of his wife. It wasn't that he ate the fruit first. The first thing he mentioned was, you hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the day of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse number 19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. And so the ground would be cursed, and now we deal with weeds. There's weeds everywhere. And some genius brought kudzu over to the United States, and now we deal with it too. And so all these things took place. There was a curse on the ground. There was a curse placed upon man. And we find here that the wages of sin, being death, is introduced to Adam. There in verse number 19, he said, for thou art dust, and unto the dust shalt thou return. The wages of sin is death. It's always been death, and it always will be death. All these things are introduced to Adam and Eve. Look at chapter 3, verse number 14. The curses continue. The serpent is cursed. Chapter 3, verse number 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so evidently this serpent, before this took place, he must have had legs or something, could move around, because him crawling on his belly for the rest of his life was a curse that was put upon him. And all these things, there in verse 15 we just read, the promised seed of woman would bruise Satan's head. That was given here in chapter 3, verse 15. All this was part of the Adamic covenant. And I'm going to put just a little note in here that's not a part of the lesson, that Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Every single curse that was put on man because of sin, Jesus took our place, and he became that curse for us. The Bible tells us in Galatians, cursed is everything that hangeth upon a tree, everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus Christ took the sorrow. He took the grief. He took all the things that were placed upon man, and he became a curse for us. And he died on the cross of Calvary to pay for that sin. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? All the things that Christ did for us. And so this was all a part of the Adamic covenant. This was a covenant that was given and is still in effect today. It crosses all the other dispensational lines. This is a covenant that's in effect for mankind. Right. That's right. It's true. I mean, everything God told us. Oh, yeah. And every single medicine comes with 1,000 side effects, you know. But all these things. Well, we've been dealing with it ever since. Yep. And man having to work and sweat and get out there and pull weeds. I don't know if anybody that's got a garden. I don't care if you do a raised bed garden, a weed's going to pop up in it. And you got to spray it. You got to do all these things. That's right. That's right. It's a covenant that affects everybody. All right, the plan of salvation for this time period, this dispensation of conscience, is faith plus works. Now there's things they have to do. Again, listen, as we approach these different time periods, as we approach how God dealt with man, we find some things about God's nature, and we find what God asks and requires. And from the very beginning, God wanted man to worship him, to worship God alone. He wanted to be their God, and he wanted them to be his people. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to fully trust him. He wanted them to trust him for everything. Trust him for the clothes they wear. Trust him for everything they do. And we're going to find that all through here. And when God finally calls out a people, the nation of Israel, with Abraham being the father of the Jews, he finally focuses in on this one nation and this one group of people. And he goes, I will be your God and you will be my people. And he makes some promises to them that we're going to find out later that tell us that is God's people, and that hasn't changed. There's some promises he makes to them. He makes promises to David. He makes promises to Abraham. He makes promises to these people, and he said, you will be my people, and I will be your God. Now, we find that they disobeyed and they rebelled, but there's some unconditional promises he made to them that will be fulfilled in the future. And we're going to see that. But the whole idea was God wanted them to choose him. And so these people here were not just believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and asking them to save them. They didn't have that. They had to choose God every day. And you see that as you study through here. The plan of salvation was faith plus works. They had the example of the garden. They were given a conscience. They had the example of the garden. You say, what was the example of the garden? They had the example of Jesus Christ taking that lamb and killing it as a sacrifice for their sin. They had an example of God showing up to them and asking them some questions. They were rhetorical questions. God knew the answer to those, but he wanted them to know the answer to them. Who told you that you were naked? Covering themselves with fig leaves. They had examples there to know what pleases God and to know what does not please God. And we can take the same examples from the garden today and understand there's some things that don't please God. The way that we address problems most of the time does not please God. We need to address it in ways that pleases him. The example of fig leaves and then making coats of wool is one example that Adam and Eve said, well, this is not the way that God wants this handled. He wants it handled this way. And so they had those examples, and then they also had a conscience that God gave them. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, I'm not going to turn there for sake of time. But Romans 2, 1 says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. They had a conscience all of a sudden that was able to judge themselves. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. For there's no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. We're talking about a time before the law here with the conscience. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law, these are the people groups I was talking about a minute ago, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. And you're not turned there, but it says their conscience also bearing witness. They have an example of what pleases God, what doesn't please God from the garden, and a conscience now that is guiding them and directing them in the right way. And their conscience also bearing witness. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So they have the example of the garden to go by, what pleases God and doesn't. And now they have a conscience that God gave them that tells them what's right and wrong. Now, I want you to think back, and some of you it might be a long time ago, but do you remember one of the first times you ever did something and something inside of you bothered you? That conscience bothered you? There was things as a young man, I don't remember exactly what they were, but man, I remember sometimes actually being laying in bed terrified because I knew I had done wrong. What is that? God put that in you. And what is dangerous for us and for man is when they go right back to that sin. Why? Because it feels good. Because our flesh likes it. And little by little, that voice on the inside, that conscience, begins to get seared. Time goes on. We continue to do it. Next thing you know, you can't even hear it no more. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place to be. The Bible talks about your conscience being seared with a hot iron. I had a preacher come up to me after I was preaching on that subject last year sometime, and he brought a cell phone up to me. And he said, do you know what these things are made of? They're made of circuit boards, and they're made of circuits that are hot iron. They take iron, you know, they're all connected with wires and connected with things, and they use a hot iron to sit there and connect all those. He goes, every time you look at a phone, your conscience is being seared with a hot iron. He's talking about the Bible being more relevant today than it's ever been. And that's absolutely true. Our conscience is seared. And so they have these two things to guide them. So these people right here during this time period, that is what they're being judged on. If they die between this point and the next dispensation where God gives them more things or asks them to do something else, if they die during this time, they are judged on what they did with what they had. The example of the garden, their conscience. That's what they were judged off of. Man's disobedience, go with me to Genesis chapter 6. I mentioned it just a second ago. Man's disobedience, Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. And again, as I go through here, there's a whole lot more deeper studies we can go, but this is a overview of dispensations. I'm trying to give you when it starts, when it ends, and all those things, and hopefully it makes sense. All right, Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But they got a conscience telling them what to do. They got a conscience telling them what's wrong and what's right, and they have an example that's been given about what pleases God and doesn't please God. In verse number 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So we find that man's disobedience, remember, every dispensation ends with man's disobedience and God's judgment. Man's disobedience was evil imaginations and thoughts. And I can't imagine. We live in a society today where wickedness and evil it's got to be at an all-time high, it seems. And I don't know everybody's heart in here. God does. He knows what you do outside this church. I don't. But there's more than 8 people in this room that are saved. And I hope there's more than 8 in here that are trying to live and do right. You say, what are you getting at? There's churches all over. There's churches I know of this morning that are meeting. And there's good, saved people in there that are trying to live right and do right. In Noah's day, there was only 8. God destroyed all the rest. We think it's bad, and it is bad. It's wicked. But that's bad. But by this time, yeah. And there was 8 people that God, one family that God found and said, I'm going to start all over with this family. Man, you talk about the wickedness. It's probably safe to say that in the average church, the percentage is not real high, the people that are living right outside of church. I'm talking about doing right, living right, clean before God. I would, if God was going to do this scenario over again, I sure would like to be a part of the number. He said, hey, I found grace in his eyes that they're doing right, they're living right. And I'm not talking about outside of church too, not just in church. Evil imaginations and thoughts. God's judgment was to destroy man and the earth. It's pretty bad when God has to repent that he made man. But man, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the day that you found grace in the eyes of the Lord when he saved you? And you know what? Noah found grace in the eyes. You say, well, was Noah a perfect man? No. I mean, he ends up getting sop drunk after this. And just, you know, displeasing the Lord in some ways. But he was a man that tried to live right and tried to do right and tried to raise his family right. He wasn't perfect. Nobody was perfect. But God chose that family to try to start over with. No. Mocking and making fun of Noah for trying. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 11. The Bible said the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now listen, I know that I feel like we're not quite there, but we're not far from there. I mean, there's absolutely wickedness everywhere. And God said unto Noah, I'm sorry, verse number 12. I'm going to read that again. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh hath corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So we find that man's disobedience was, I mean, every evil thing they imagined. And that's what mankind's doing today. If they think it up, they're trying to create a metaverse now, an alternate reality that people can live in and do things in. Whatever you imagine that you can do. And the wickedness of man's heart and their thoughts is unbelievable. I mean, we think we know what wickedness is, but some of these people are demon-possessed. Man, the wickedness of their heart and their the things they imagine. Some of you ladies, when you're walking around in public, you have no clue what some people are thinking about you. Even men. It's just absolute wickedness. So God's judgment was to destroy man and the earth. And that's going to end up this one here. And we got 2 minutes left, so I'm going to stop. And Lord willing, next week we're going to go into human government. God said, I gave you the opportunity of innocence. You didn't know right and wrong. I'm sure some of you have examples of with your children. There's something that they did that was not right, but they were innocent in the fact that they didn't know what they were doing was not right. And then you sat down and you talked to them and said, hey, this isn't right. And they said, okay, now I know. And you might say, well, they were innocent because they didn't know any better. I mean, I've heard kids do things and say things and they don't have a clue what they're talking about, right? And so they're innocent. And that's the opportunity that Adam and Eve had. And they, because God gave them a free will, chose that tree and a lie from the devil, which was a partial lie and partial truth. He took that thing, and men and mankind sinned. Now God had to put them out of the garden because of that tree of life that was there. And then he gave them a conscience to guide them. They had the conscience, example of the garden, and they do every evil thing imaginable. So when Noah and his family get off the ark, they still have a conscience. They still have the example of the garden. But now God is going to establish human government. And this human government is what they're going to have to use to govern one another, in addition to the conscience, in addition to the example they have in the garden. The reason why these are different time periods or dispensations because things change. All right, so Lord willing, next week that's what we'll begin to go over is the dispensation of human government. Has anybody got any questions? All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for loving.